Amen. It's a blessing to have Brother Tony and Yvonne here with us this morning. And you just keep praying for him. Okay? The Lord uses him mightily. Okay? And I love him. And he calls me Daniel Boone because I'm taller than him. And again, then he says that CJ is his brother from another mother. And that's how it is if you've never met Brother Tony. We're just glad he's able to be here with us.
You know Martin's nickname? The Martian. Marty the Martian from Martville.
Marty the Martian from Martville. Okay. But knowing Brother Tony now quite a few years, we're just glad we had him here, got to know him. We love him. I think for Emmanuel, he's like family for many of us. Amen. So we're just glad he's able to be here with our missions conference. And so now I ask if you would, please, if you have a cell phone or a PDA or anything. Now, basically cell phones, everybody got rid of their, they don't use those anymore. Okay. So please silence your cell phone, either put it on silent or turn it off, and give the man of God and the word of God its due, okay, and his due, the attention with that. And we're just glad he's here and pray again to be a blessing to you. Okay, Brother Tony, you come ahead.
Amen. Clean my glasses. Should have came up that side. God bless you. Thank you. I'm not going to pick on you, Kay, but you know, never pick on a preacher right before he comes up to preach. My goodness, you think the little, you know, that's why one of the reasons why I call him little brother. You got some growing up to do. I'm only kidding. Caleb is a fine young man. He really is. He finally learned how to get a nice haircut. I said I wasn't going to pick on him, right? He looks very dapper, very handsome. Well, good to be here. I am among family. And certainly I brought brown sugar with me. Couldn't bring brown sugar cubes this time. My daughter and the grandkids, you keep us all in prayer. Amen. I meant it. You know, if I had known you were having a harvest dinner, I would have came and we would have brought some mac and cheese so that you missed the mac and cheese. Amen. Amen. But anyhow, we're certainly glad to be here now. You're always a blessing to us, and I'm sure that you hear that from everybody that comes through here. You know, so, and we just want to be as big a blessing to you as you are to us. Now, Father, we come before you once again in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And, Lord, this is the theme that you laid on the heart of Brother Caleb and Pastor Legault. And it's a theme right out of your word. And, Lord, as we look at this, we understand that the woman with the alabaster box, she did all that she could to prepare you, Lord, for the death, the burial, and the resurrection, so that there would be a great commission. And so, Lord, we pray you to help us, Lord, keeping with this theme, Lord, to live by it, that, Lord, we'd have the same testimony, that we did all that we could. God, I pray that, Lord, please answer all those prayers that have been prayed, dear God, by me and others, dear Father, and certainly Brother John and whoever else has been praying. And we'll thank you and praise you, knowing that you'll do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. In Jesus' name, amen. And thinking about a special to sing today, the song that the Lord laid on my heart was a Star Spangled Banner. Amen. I want to do it in honor of our country, in honor of our veterans. Praise God, I had an opportunity to be a Vietnam vet back in 72, right after the end of the war. And let me say this, and let's honor our vets. Please, if you would just stand, whether you went overseas or shoreside, well, praise the Lord, give them a hand, would you? Please give them a hand. And I certainly stand with you. You know, I don't agree with the method of the protest that the athletes are doing. Certainly, I appreciate the awareness that they're trying to bring to, you know, the things that are going on in our society. But I hate the division. Satan is behind the division. And the national anthem should be something that we can unite on. Amen. Amen. So I don't mind the people protesting if it's going to do some good. But I think that it's time now that platform changes. Amen. I gave you out some handouts, made those up yesterday, only made up 100 of them, and so you're going to have to share. Some of you take your own notes and encourage you to do that anyhow. You got paper, you don't have to see Caleb for paper. You can write on the back of those outlines, and if you want an outline for yourself, give it to Caleb and he'll make a copy for you, amen? But anyhow, let's get started. By way of introduction, everyone here today represents one of two people. You're either a mission field or a missionary. Amen? If you are not a Christian, you are a mission field. You are a person who must receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior so that he can make you a missionary. And I'll tell you why and how later on in the message. All right? If you're a Christian, you are a missionary. Say, I'm a missionary. You are someone who has been commissioned by the Lord with a mission to be a witness of him to your Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world, according to Matthew 28, 18, and 20, and Acts 1, 8. Why don't we turn there? Matthew, we know this, but we need to be reminded. I know that I do. Amen. Sometimes we can get so familiar with Scripture that we're reluctant to obey it. Can I get another amen? I need a hearty amen. That's better. All right, Matthew 28, 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Jesus went on to say, and speaking to his apostles before he was ascended up, he said, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses of me. Amen. In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. Now, physically speaking, those are geographical areas. Amen. Spiritually speaking, your Jerusalem are those in the sphere of your influence. Amen. Amen. Those who are in your home, your neighbors, in your school, in your job, etc., etc., etc. That's your Jerusalem. Can I get an amen? Amen. Your Judea are those outside of the sphere of your influence. Let's say, for example, to your west, Hamilton and Oswego and et cetera, et cetera. To your east, you got SOTUS and you got that real big town at Sterling over there, the one that takes about a half a second to drive through. But anyhow, you got SOTUS and you got Rochester. You know, that could be your Judea. Your Samaria is, you know, within your own continent. And your uttermost is the rest of the world. Can I get an amen? Now, as a missionary, you are responsible for all four regions. However, God calls you to obey the Great Commission in one specific mission field, starting with your Jerusalem. Now, if you don't start here, it doesn't qualify you to go anywhere else. Can I get amen there? Amen. Now, 2 years ago, I preached a message entitled Missionary Motives from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In conclusion of that message, Pastor DeGaulle gave a profound statement. He said that most of us have more excuses for not being a missionary than we have motives for being a missionary. Do you remember that? Nobody's responding. Do you remember that? I do. I still hear that. Jeniah, my granddaughter, Jamia, she said, Grandpa, I remember that statement. She was 13 at the time. I hope that's not your testimony today. Are you doing all that you can to obey the Great Commission? You don't have to say anything. You can say amen if you like. But, you know, examine your own heart. Amen. Now, before I preach to you today, I would like to give you a disclaimer. I must confess that the outline for this message, the one you have in your hand, isn't exclusively mine. It was given by the Spirit to an old Baptist preacher by the name of Henry Blackaby. Amen. Now, I don't agree with everything Henry Blackaby said. I don't agree with everything any commentator says. I don't. I just don't. I look for flaws sometimes when I read into a commentary, even Matthews or even MacArthur or anybody, because the only person that is always right is Jesus. Amen. But anyhow, you learn how to glean things. And so, we're gleaning from this outline. Let me go on to say this. About 10 years ago, I taught a similar outline to the church that I pastored in Rochester, Charity Bible Baptist Church. It was a blessing to them, and I believe that it'll be a blessing to you. What I did is I adjusted it to coincide with our theme. Amen? And before I go on, I'd like for you to pray for me as a congregation. And if you would do that, we'll have a moment of silence, and then your pastor and our pastor will break the silence with prayer when he feels led of the Lord. So if you'll just bow your head and pray as God's lead, and God leads, amen, concerning yourself, the conference, and me as God leads. And then once again, your pastor will break the silence. We're only going to take about a minute or two to do that. Oh, God. Oh, God. May your glory fill this place. Oh, God, I can do nothing without you. Oh, God, but you can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask of you. You can do anything, everything.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you, God, and we seek your face. And Lord, I just pray that you give Brother Tony a fresh anointing from on high.
Oh, God.
Lord, you take control of every thought of his mind, every word of his mouth, every action of his hands and feet. I pray your Holy Spirit, Father, can have control in each and every part of the service. Father, you use each unique personality of the preachers.
Yes.
And God, give him liberty to preach as you would have him to, Father. And Lord, we pray that you would be glorified in all things, God. We plead the blood of Christ for him and for each and every person that's here. And Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would just take control of the service. Father, he come down upon us with power. Lord, he says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there you meet in the midst of us. And we claim that. And we ask that you be with the man of God as he preaches this message this morning, that you strengthen him from on high, and we plead the blood of Christ that you hold back any attacks, Father, the wicked one, on our minds, or on our souls and our bodies at this time. Work as only you can, Father, and we will give you all the praise, the honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, and of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. I love to tell the story, will be my theme in glory, to tell the old story of Jesus and his love.
Amen.
The meat of the message, part two, is a part one and part two. So don't think that everything on the notes I'm going to try to preach this morning, right where you split, is where I'm going to stop. Amen. And so feel comfort in that. But the title of the message for both messages is missionary motive, missionary methods. Can you say missionary methods?
Missionary methods.
Okay, 2 years ago we preached on missionary motives. Today it's going to be missionary methods. Our text is Ephesians 3:20 to 21. We won't turn there for the sake of time, but it says God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we are able to ask or think. How? According to the power that's already at work in us.
Amen.
Amen? I like to read the other portion of that scripture where it says that God would dwell in our hearts by faith. Amen? So that God would strengthen us with might by his spirit, and so that Christ might dwell in our hearts by faith, that we might be... I need to turn there. I'm going to mess this up. Caleb, that's one of the things in your favor, is when you get older, your memory's not the same as it used to be. Isn't that right, Brother Lego? Look at him laughing, man. Listen to them. Okay. Ephesians 3:16, verse 17, that Christ might dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Why? So that God can do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think. Through you, through the power of the Spirit that's already in you. He's just waiting to yield. I'll say this later, but let me say it now as the Spirit speaks to my heart. The world has yet to see what God can do with any person, male or female, boy or girl, who would just surrender to him. That could be you. And by the way, pray that I'd have those chocolate thunder bars this evening, okay? What'd you do? I know you were waiting for them. But anyhow, let me move on. All right, the theme, once again, is she had done what she could, Matthew 14:8, and the thought, and I just mentioned that the only way you can do all you can do to obey God's great commission is to allow him to do it through you, because without him, you can do nothing.
Amen.
The first point today is the Lord is always at work around you in your mission field. Psalm 74:12 says that God is the God of old, working salvation in the midst of the world. Amen. Salvation is God's work. And it came at the greatest cost. How do I know that it's God's greatest work? Because he paid more for that than he did for anything else. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. If you believe in him, you should not perish but have everlasting life. What greater price is there for this great salvation? Are you with me today? It's God's work. It's not man's work. Amen? And Psalms chapter 3, verse 8, the word of God says, salvation belongeth unto God. In Psalms 27:1, it says that the Lord is our light and our salvation. He is our salvation. Acts 4:12, the word of God says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. You only can only be saved through the name of Jesus.
Right.
Salvation is not your work, it is God's work. No one can save themselves or anyone else. We wouldn't if we could. Turn with me to Psalms 49:8. Many of the verses, I won't turn there because this is not a real Bible study. Amen. I want to, for the sake of time, I'll quote many of the verses that I know, but you'll have the verses that you can always refer back to. Is that okay? And I probably need to slow down a little bit. What do you think? Nobody's saying anything. All right. So you're afraid if I slow down, then it was going to take me longer to get through the message, right? And you miss out on your pie. Psalms 49:7. None of them can by any means redeem his brother or save his brother, nor give God a ransom for him. In other words, you can't offer anything to God, not only for your own soul, that he'll accept, nor for anybody else. God will not accept, according to 1 Peter, I don't know exactly where the reference is, your good looks, your good works, nothing that you do for salvation, only the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, turn with me to Romans chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. When you get there, say amen. I love amens. I'm going to preach whether you do or not, but I love them anyhow. Most preachers do, as long as you don't come out of a snore saying amen. Romans chapter 3. All right, hang in there with me. Romans chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Here's the point. We wouldn't save anybody or ourselves if we could. And here's why, saints. By nature, we don't run to God. By nature, we run from God. Amen. I know that was my testimony for years, man. It might not be the testimony of people that are here. But I tell you what, you might not have run as hard as I did. You know, I ran from God when I was a young kid. They used to drop me off at Sunday school, and I'd go in the front door, and if I could make it out, I'd go through the back door. And I'm not trying to give anybody any ideas, all right? You know, I didn't realize I was running from God at the time. I thought I was just going somewhere to play, all right, instead of being in church. The teachers weren't all that sharp. They were kind of boring, you know, maybe that was the reason. But anyhow, I was running, all right? In primary age, you know, I was running from God. I didn't go to church. You know, when I was a preteen, I went to a Bible club and I learned John 3:16, but that wasn't enough. I'm not sure if I got saved there, but I remember that time very exclusively. But God was drawing me at every age. As a teenager, man, just forget it. I was just doing my own thing. All that time, I'm looking for love in all the wrong places.
Right.
You know, my heart was yearning, and there was a hole in my heart, and I was looking for love, but I was running from the one who loved me most. You see, God is love.
Amen.
But I didn't understand that. You know, when I was a young man, I was looking for love. Let me tell you, if you're looking for love, you don't look to God, you're going to wind up finding what you're looking for. And it won't be love. It'll be counterfeit.
That's right.
But by nature, we run from God. We don't run to God. God has to draw us to himself. John 8:44 says that nobody can come to God. You don't come to God unless he draws you by his Spirit.
Amen.
How does he draw you? I'm glad you asked. In Jeremiah 31:3. It says that God draws us with bands and cords of loving kindness. Well, what does that look like? Because God loves you so much, like you don't miss this. He will use any circumstance in your life to draw you. Storms. I mean, even physical storms. People wonder sometimes, what about the people down in Florida and the people down where they've had all these earthquakes and tornadoes and, you know, is this the hand of God? God can certainly stop it. But he uses that to get people's attention, you know, one reason anyhow, to draw them to him. Psalms 46:1 says, be still and know that I am God. When the earthquake come and the tornadoes come, and you look at that psalm, you see all those things in there. You know, even not only the physical ones, but the storms in your life. To draw you to him. He uses illnesses and sicknesses and, you know, these things. And, you know, he'll bring you to a place where you'll glory in these things. You'll boast in these things. I'm dealing with a situation right now that I don't want. But God is teaching me how, you know, in an infirmity to glory in it. Knowing that, you know, he gives me the grace to trust in him, to draw closer to him. Are you with me, saints?
Amen.
God is always at work around you in your mission field. The next point I want to look at is this. The Lord pursues a love relationship with you and those in your mission field that is real and personal. Look with me to John chapter 17. John 17. Powerful portion of scripture. It's become one of my favorite portions of scripture, if not the most favorite.
Amen.
Greatest prayer ever prayed by the greatest prayer warrior who ever lived or could live. Amen. Look at John chapter 17, verses 20 through 26. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be one, made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Did you get that? Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory in heaven, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. You talk about a love letter, man. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Now, a lot can be said. I only have time to really reflect on a few things here. The Lord pursues a love relationship with you that is in your, and those in your mission field that is real and personal. God creates us and saves us for a love relationship with him that is real and personal.
Amen.
The reason why God created you, the reason why God saves you or wants to save you primarily, is not just to keep you from going to hell. He has a greater reason than that. He wants you to experience, embrace, and express his love.
Come on, brother.
He wants you to be an embodiment, like Christ, of his love. He wants to love on you throughout all eternity. He wants to create a relationship with you that is very real and personal. How real and personal? I'm glad you asked. He wants you to experience a relationship that is the epitome of all other relationships. A oneness.
Amen.
The same type of oneness he has with the Father and with the Holy Spirit as part of the Godhead, according to Scripture. He wants you to experience a oneness that is the essence of salvation. John chapter 17, verse 3, he said, and this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ in himself. See, the essence of salvation, you know, what is that all about? He wants to save you because he loves you. With a love that you'll never be able to understand, a divine love, this charity that we talk about. A love that has, you know, the depths and the lengths and the heights of this love. There's no bounds to that love. A love that passes knowledge.
Amen.
He wants a relationship that is an example of how Jesus Christ lived. In John chapter 14, he said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Because the Father's living in me, and I love him, and he loved me. Boy, we got this love relationship going on. A relationship that the Lord Jesus Christ explained in John chapter 15 as an abiding relationship. He wants us to abide in him. As a Christian, he wants us to abide in him. And I've talked about abiding enough, and so has your pastor. Basically, abiding in him is this, is to continue to remain in close fellowship with him long enough for him to enable you to bear the fruit of his love, the fruit of the Spirit. Are you with me, Brother Caleb? A relationship that is the exhortation emphasized in Revelation 3:20. He said, I stand at the door and knock. Come on, somebody. If any man or woman hears my voice and open, anybody, you, you know, whether you're saved or whether you're lost, you know, you need to open the door and let him come in so he can save you. If you're saved, you need to open the door so he can come in and have fellowship with you.
Amen.
People say, well, who is he talking to in that portion of Scripture? He's talking to saved and he's talking to lost. He wants to love on you. He wants you to allow him to be seated at the throne of your heart. He wants you to sanctify him in your heart. Daily. Amen. That's how real and personal this relationship is. I call it the ultimate intimate relationship. Next point, quickly. The Lord invites you to join him in his work in your mission field. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18. Why does he want you to join him? So that he can do his work through you, like he did with Jesus. Look at what Paul said in reflecting on that relationship in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He said, in all things, verse 18, are of God who hath reconciled, brought us back to God, reconciled us to himself. How? By Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, the Father was in the Son, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. In other words, when Christ in his humanity, 100% man, 100% God, in his relationship with the Lord, Jesus said, the Father's in me and I'm in the Father. Paul makes reference to that here. And he says that God was in Christ, the Father's in Christ, drawing the world unto himself. That's our example.
Amen.
God wants you to join him in your mission field, whether it's your Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, or the uttermost parts of the earth, so that he can work through you. A lot of people won't go soul winning for fear. A lot of people won't evangelize, and a lot of people won't allow themselves to see themselves as missionaries. You know, they would rather send somebody else. Without even acknowledging the fact that, listen, you're a missionary right where you're at.
That's right.
Your Jerusalem, your Judea, your Samaria, are the most parts of the earth. Your mission is to allow God to fulfill his great commission through you.
Amen.
Well, I'll send somebody. Listen, without the resources you have, they're not yours. Your treasures. Your talents or gifts, and especially your time, that's probably the most important. No, it is the most important one. They belong to God.
That's right.
And he's given to you for the purpose of fulfilling the Great Commission. Amen. Consider that. When you start determining how much you're going to make out, how the faith promise that you're going to have. Now, if that's convicting to you, listen, it's convicting to me first. Because I have to take an inventory. God, I confess, I haven't done all that I can do. How about you? He wants to do his work through you. And when he does, we won't have many, if any, excuses for motives. The best motive that you can have is to be constrained by the love of Christ. Are you with me?
Amen.
Here's the last point for this morning of our part two of our message. The Lord speaks to you by his Spirit, through his word, prayer, circumstances, and his church to reveal your mission field to you and how to fulfill this great commission. That's a mouthful. Proverbs, what we need to do when he speaks to us by his Spirit, through the word, through prayer, through circumstances, and through his church, we need to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not on our own understanding. In all our ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. But don't be wise in your own eyes. Don't be coming up with any excuses. But fear the Lord. Reverence the Lord.
Right.
His mission field and his calling and his great commission. And depart from evil. It shall health, be health to my navel and marrow to thy bones. It'll be very healthy to trust God. Unhealthy to not trust him. Now, what does this look like? God speaks to you by his spirit. Well, right now, let me quote some of these verses. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. It says that in these last days, God at one time spoke through prophets and through dreams and many different ways, amen? But in these last days, he speaks to us by his Son, amen? And the Spirit of God, and the Son speaks to us by the Spirit. He's the other comforter. He's Christ down here. Amen. And he speaks to us by his spirit. And the spirit speaks to us through the word of God. And for, you can write this verse down in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 to 21. It says that the spirit of God speaking through the word is a more sure word than God even speaking from heaven. These are God's words right here. Amen. They're established forever and ever. And the one who wrote the book speaks to us, always speaking to us, through the word of God, primarily. You know, he speaks to other word places, but primarily, you can put your faith and trust in his word more than what anybody else says. Amen. Or what anybody else said that God said. Come on, somebody. We have a more sure word of prophecy, of God speaking. So the Spirit of God is always speaking. We're not always listening, but he's speaking by his spirit through the word of God and through your prayer life. Turn to Romans chapter 8, 27, 28. I might keep you a few more minutes longer, but not much longer than that. You ain't got to worry about your pie getting cold because it's already cold.
They're not getting it until tonight, brother.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll keep them till tonight. Probably, I'm only kidding. Romans chapter 8. 27, 28. And he that searcheth the hearts, because folks, I don't want you to miss this point. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the word of God. Now, this is God that when he searches our hearts, you know, he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind. He knows the mind of the Spirit. Amen. Because the Spirit makes intercession for the saints. He prays for us according to the will of God. Amen. Look at verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. He helps us with our weakness. We don't always know how to pray. For we know not what we should pray for as we should or ought. But the Spirit itself, himself, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You can't, you know, he's not talking about speaking in tongues here. He's talking about things that you can't say
right.
At all. Amen. So God speaks to us by his Spirit through the word of God. Through our prayer life. Amen?
Amen.
What does that mean? Let me help you with this. He tells you he prays for you. And he tells you what to pray for.
Amen.
He'll speak to you about things that God wants to give you. And he's waiting for you to ask. Sometimes you think, well, boy, I said this prayer and God gave me this thing. Listen, don't give yourself too much credit. Could be that the Holy Spirit put that prayer on your heart to pray.
Come on.
You ever notice when you're abiding with Christ, you're walking with the Lord, that the Lord will answer you before you can even say anything? He'll put people in your prayer. Things just start coming together. Walking in the Spirit. You're praying in the Spirit. The prayer in the Spirit is to pray according to the word of God, according to the will of God. And the Spirit of God is the teacher. He'll speak to you while you're praying. Isn't that right, John? You know, I was praying this morning, and the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, Tony, pray for so-and-so. And I stopped, didn't I, Yvonne? Stopped dead in the tracks, began to pray for my children. Because I know they had a situation going on. And I was sensitive enough to the Spirit. And one of the reasons why I'm insensitive to the Spirit this weekend is because of the prayer of the saints. God told you what to pray for this guy. And the other guys that are coming through, don't give yourself any credit. God is praying through you.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
He speaks to us by his Spirit through circumstances. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9. You can write this down. He says that Paul said, listen, a door of affection was opened unto me. Pray for me. God opens doors. You know, circumstances, good and bad, can be an open door for God to use you. Well, they are. In your mission field. How does that work? Look at this. In your mission field, how do you know where God is at work? Have you ever had anybody come up to you and say, listen, would you pray for me? Because they're watching you and they know you're a Christian. The only way they're going to, you know, that God is working in their life is, you know, because God is drawing them. You understand that? They're asking you to pray. Or they might ask you a question here or two. And they might even act like they don't care. Or they might act like I remember when a guy, Dave Schreiner, tried to lead me to the Lord one day. And before I got saved, I said, listen, old man, get away from me before I punch you in the mouth. I don't want to hear what you have to say. That was 1,000 years ago. I got saved in 79. But inside, I wanted to hear. See, God draws. And he'll put you in a place. You know, even where I work at today in the recreation center with all these kids, sometimes I don't want to be there. But God says, keep your ears open. Because they're going to say something, let you know how you can minister to them. And God showed me the other day, bring some Bible studies in here. These kids want to know at their level. I'm getting goosebumps. God speaks to us by his Spirit, through the Word, through prayer, through circumstances. He gives you open door. He'll give you peace. And through the church or his people. Not just the preachers, not just the teachers. And if you'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, brother, verse 3. Then I want to go into the invitation real quick. You can be ready because you know how to mop this up real good. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3. Please. Read it loud enough so you can get it on there.
But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort.
Okay, now, here's the point. To prophesy, they're making reference to it, is speaking the word of God.
Right.
Amen? Now, God will speak his word. Not only will he speak it through a preacher and a teacher. God can speak through a jackass, and he did. Now, I'm not saying you're a jackass. I'm a jackass, amen? Sometimes I act like it, but, you know, I'm not. God can speak through anyone. And he can speak to you through, he will speak to you through preachers, teachers, the people in the church. I mean, once, real quick, a testimony. Jim Bianchi, a friend of mine, years ago, I was praying, saying, God, should I get this loan? Should I get this loan? I'm waiting for you to tell me. Well, after I've been praying for a while, I'm walking out of the church, I'm in the vestibule, and I'm going down the stairs, and Jimmy came by, and he just bumped me, and he said, Tony, stay away from debt. He never knew. The pastor came, I can be preaching right now and don't even know what's going on in your heart. Trust it that God is speaking to you. What is he saying today? He said, listen, I'm speaking. You know, this message is for you. This is your theme. You've been praying about this. Do you have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to you? He speaks. God speaks to us. By his Spirit, through the Word, through prayer, through circumstances, through the church. To show us where we need to serve. In your Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost part. He'll call some of you out of here. Not everybody. He called one of your best out. He got mad. He's over in Africa. You think his mission feels any more important than yours? You know, tonight I want to talk about what that looks like for me as an evangelist. How do I know that God called me to be an evangelist and to go into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria? How do I know as a pastor? How you can know? But I want to close with this thought. And here's where we go in our invitation. What does this look like for the unsaved? If you're here today and you're not saved, you need to know that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. And you better be careful because in Genesis it says that the Spirit of God will not always strive with man. In other words, the Spirit of God will not always speak to you if you continue to reject him. In other words, you know, sometimes there's a time where God will reject you if you don't respond to him. Pastor, you can come. If you don't respond to him, he will not always try to draw you if you refuse him for the very last time. You say, when is that? I don't know. He could be speaking to you right now. The Spirit of God speaks through the Word, primarily through the Word, through my preaching right now. He speaks through prayer. People are praying for you. People have been praying for you. People are praying for you right now to get saved. He speaks through circumstances, through storms in your life, through needs and through deaths, through sicknesses. Can I get an amen? And he does it in love. You might realize that he's your only hope. What circumstance? Let me mention the most important circumstance. For God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son. If you believe in him, you should not perish but have everlasting life. The circumstance in reference to that verse is if you repent and receive Christ as your Savior, you won't go to hell. You won't perish. You'll be saved and have eternal life with the Lord. And you'll be able to experience, embrace, and express his love not only in heaven but down here today. If you don't get saved, you'll be separated from the love of God for all eternity. Forever and ever and ever. He speaks to the church. He's speaking through me. What is he speaking? Listen, how can you get saved? Word of God said, if thou shalt confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You need to call upon him with a sincere heart. Oh, Jesus, save me. Give me eternal life. Bow your heads for just a moment. You're here today, and you realize that Jesus is the Lord. You believe that God raised him from the dead. And Jesus, the word of God says, if thou, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you want to be saved, pray something like this. Use your own words. Pray something like this. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Lord. I believe that not only you rose from the dead, but I believe you came, you died, you were crucified, you buried, you rose again. And because I believe that you can save me, I have a change of heart, a change of mind. I know that I'm a sinner. A change of heart. I desire to get saved. And I'm willing now to turn totally and completely to you for my salvation. I surrender. You said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm calling on you now. Do for me what you did for this preacher and those who are saved. Please save me. I'm taking you at your word. If you prayed that and you were sincere, and I say that realizing that probably not a whole lot of people in here would say that they're not saved, but by experience I know that everybody in here is not saved. Hopefully this would be the day of your salvation. Pastor, I'm done.
Please stand. This morning, if you prayed and asked Christ to be your Lord and Savior this morning, please let us know. Okay, you can come forward with the invitation. I know believers need to come forward as I look at the message this morning. And I love the idea that it's missionary methods. God's method hasn't changed from the beginning. God reached, he sent his son. God's son reached, and he sends us. He sends us. If you prayed this morning to receive Christ as your Savior, we invite you to step out of your seat, come down.
I promise you, if you got saved, you know, so we give all new converts, we give them a Bible and a God's Promise book. Okay? And we do that when people get saved. We do that when visitors come and they don't have one. They are saved. But if this morning, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, we invite you to come to the invitation. Believer, if God has spoken to your heart this morning and you're starting to see your part as a missionary a little different than you have before in a greater way, maybe you need to come and make a commitment to God to follow through on that. Okay? You need to be able to tell others. You need to be able to witness to them. And if you're going to go to the othermost parts of the earth and you're not going there physically, you need to send others. And you do that through the Faith Promise Missions Giving. And that's what it's about. And if God's spoken to your heart, I know he's spoken to mine. You need to come and pray. You need to ask God to forgive you for something so you can draw close to him. Or if you need to be able to say, Lord, I'm listening. Please speak to me through the rest of this missions conference. Prepare my heart that I might increase my faith. It'll be seen not only in what I give, but also in what I do and what I say. Because I understand I belong to you. I am a missionary. If God speaks in your heart this morning, you come during the invitation hymn. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the man of God. I thank you for the word of God. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are always working in and around us. And Father, we need to hear your voice to reach to those around us who don't know Christ the Savior. I thank you, Father, that it is a love relationship that drives you to reach to us. And Father, we need to understand that love and to reach to others that they might know what it means to be loved with an everlasting love, with a love that will not leave us nor forsake us, because the world does that. World's love is what they can get. Your love is always based on your giving. You gave yourself, and you give through us. And Father, we're invited to join your work in that field, and I pray you spoke to people's hearts this morning. They need to know they're ambassadors for Christ. And Lord, I pray that they will listen to the Holy Spirit. They've heard the word of God from the man of God, and they would see, Father, Lord, that we need to go into the highways and byways and compel them to come in. And we do that here in our Jerusalem and our Judea and Samaria and then to the uttermost parts of the world through our giving so that others can go where we are not going. Work in our hearts during the invitation hymn. Help us, Father, to give you the praise, the honor, glory in all things. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.